Going to be in Isaiah chapter 40 this evening.
You probably have never wondered, but just a kind of a peek into lesson preparation for me. If you've ever been wondering how I gather thoughts for what I'm going to speak about, it takes a lot of Bible reading and then walking around spinning a basketball on my finger. So that probably makes a lot of things make sense to you. But I was doing that the other day, and I got to looking at the ball, and I was watching it, and I thought, I wonder who the first person to do that was. I wonder who the first person to spin a ball on their finger was. And I do that a lot. I think about the first people to do things. It's something that fascinates me. I think about first person to eat an egg, you know, like to cook it and eat. I personally would have never thought to cook that and eat that if I did not have the example to do so. We read about one of Cain's descendants, a man named Jubal, in Genesis 4 and verse 21, that he was the father of all those who play the lyre and the pipe. And I don't know if this means that he invented the instrument. Somebody had to. And I just think about that. And I think how hard it would be to come up with a musical instrument. And, you know, back then they had a lot more time to think if you're living 800 years or so. But it's hard to think about making something without inspiration, because we never do. In fact, really, no human ever has. Even if Jubal did invent it, or whoever did invent it, they did not just come up with that, or just come up with the idea for an instrument. It was probably based off of discovering something, you know, about the sound of a tight string, or hearing the wind blowing through a hole, or something like that. They had some sort of inspiration. But here's something to think about: God created the greatest and most important instrument that we all have, and the first instrument to ever be invented, our voice. And that Justin was thankful for in his prayer this evening. And God invented the brain that is able to sing, that is able to create things, that is able to play these instruments. And God created the world and the universe that houses all of these things and that all of these things exist in. And the thing is, he had no example to go off of. That's just impossible to think about. We read in Isaiah chapter 40 in verse 12, God says, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens by the span and calculated the dust of the earth by measure and weighed the mountains in a balance and the hills in a pair of scales? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or who has his, or as his counselor has informed him? With whom did he consult, and who gave him understanding, and who taught him in the path of justice and taught him knowledge and informed him in the way of understanding?" When God was forming the world, he did not consult anyone or anything. And he had no example to go off of. He didn't even have like another world to base his off of or anything like that. God did not need an example. And that's something that is hard to imagine when you think of the complexity of everything. From the fact that this entire universe is able to hold together without collapsing in on itself, or when you think down to the very just atoms that we can't even see that make us up, we can't comprehend what that means. Honestly, I don't think that we can, because we have never made anything without inspiration, without some sort of inspiration. And so it makes sense when we read in Isaiah 55 and verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God is so far above us. We should not ever think that we could know or grasp anything about this God. And so, that makes it such an unimaginable blessing that we can. God tells us about himself. God reveals himself. He tells us everything that we need to know about him within his word. And within his word, we also read that we can have an even greater understanding of him. I want to back up a few verses in Isaiah 55 and verse 6. "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declare the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And as we read in God's word, and as we get into the New Testament, we read about Christ, we do learn and understand that we seek God through Christ. And that we can, and if we forsake our ways and forsake our thoughts, then God gives us even far greater ones. And including knowledge of him. Through Jesus Christ, we can know God. 1 John 2 and verse 1. John says, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. And by this we have come to know him. If," and here's a big if we keep his commandments. In Christ, we understand the wisdom of God, and through God's word, we understand the wisdom of God. But we read in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30, "But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, so that, just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord." We can have this sanctification, this righteousness, but also the wisdom of God through Jesus Christ. It's really an incomprehensible thing that we can understand anything about God. And really one of the hardest things for us to understand is that he allows us to do that. And that he offers himself to us, especially if you really think hard about who we are. We mess up a lot. And we sin against him a lot. But God, because he is so unlike us, he does not ruin us because of that fact. He does not ruin us because we sin against him and do awful things against him. But he still seeks to make us better. He seeks to make us better people, better mothers, better fathers, better friends, better in every single aspect of the word. He makes us better humans. And this is something that's just kind of not a main point, but something that I was thinking about, is that we should take his example in that. We're all going to mess up, and we all do mess up, and we're all going to mess up against each other, but we should never grow weary of doing good to one another, as we read about in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 13. Not only that, we should continue to encourage each other to be better in the end. God didn't need an example for that. God doesn't need, that's just who he is. God did not need an example for the creation of the world. We're not the same way. We need examples. We learn from others. Our language, the words that we speak, we gain from others. Our math skills, or lack of them in my case, is something that we learn from others. How to cook is something that we learn from others. We learn things from others, and that's great. It's a good thing to learn things from others. But eventually we have to realize that we can learn from the better source. We can learn from the best source. Because you compare all of these things that I just mentioned, all the things that we can learn within this world, and then you think about the things that God teaches, or specifically the things that God has created within us. The ability to breathe, the ability to eat, the ability for blood to pump through our body. These are things that we don't even need to think of. And the only reason that we even can learn speech and math or whatever it may be is because God has created us to be able to do so. And I say all of this just to illustrate the point that while we can learn some interesting and helpful things within this life, God teaches the essential things. God teaches life. What is essential to life? And especially, and most importantly to us, God teaches about eternal life. And he wants to teach us. He desires that. And we need an example. He gave his son for an example. He gave his son for the example that he wants to teach us and save us and be our God, but he gave his son as the example to teach us. That's something that's kind of hard to argue with. We read, in fact, in Isaiah 45, verse 9, "Woe to the one who quarrels with his maker. An earthenware vessel among the vessels of earth. Will the clay say to the potter, 'What are you doing?' Or the thing that you are making say, 'He has no hands?'" You cannot argue with God. I mean, you can, but it's just silly. It doesn't make any sense. But the thing is that we wouldn't want to. Because God wants to teach us righteousness. And he wants to teach us knowledge of him. And he wants to teach us his wisdom. He is not trying to make us into some subpar vessel that we don't want to be. But having said all of that, I guess I was thinking about the way that clay is shaped today. I don't know how clay was shaped back then, but I think about it, the way that clay is shaped today with the spinning wheel and clips of what I've seen on TV. But I think about that, and I bet it's pretty uncomfortable to be a piece of clay. I mean, you think about all that spinning. That just makes me sick thinking about it. All that spinning, having to bend to the hand of something forming you. But if a clay does that, then eventually it is turned into something that is worth looking at, or something that is useful. It's only when the clay runs away from the hand of its potter that it becomes deformed. Or disappointing, really. We don't always like the feel of life. And there's a lot of reasons for that. Life goes fast. We're really busy. There's a lot of things that we go through within this life. It's enough to make someone's head spin. And it's hard to conform to the hand of God. It's hard to conform to the path of God. Righteousness is not always the easy thing. In fact, in most cases, it's the hard thing. But if we do, and we submit to His hand, and we submit to His path and His desires, and we seek Him for the wisdom, seek the eternal God for wisdom, then He makes us into a vessel that is worthwhile. And He turns us into an eternal vessel that honestly we just can't even grasp. We can't even put those things into words. Or when they are put into words, we realize that we don't understand them. But He can. God knows what He is doing. Do we seek Him for what we need to be doing in our life? We can. That's a wonderful thing. God is unfathomable. I knew I was going to mess up that word. But He offers us knowledge of Him, salvation in Him, His wisdom. If we will just continue to seek Him for that. Do you still need to answer His great call tonight? We read in Isaiah that you can seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. He can be found now, and He is near to you tonight if you are ready to seek Him for salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. If you need to do that, please come forward while we stand and as we sing.